you. Our next presentation will be the Monitoring Possible Marijuana Related Health and Effects in Colorado. And it will be by Elizabeth Barker. And Lisa Barker is the Marijuana Program Manager at Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. She manages the collection and aggregation of health outcome data from currently available state service surveillance systems to monitor changes in marijuana use patterns and adverse health events related to marijuana use. In this capacity, she works with partners at multiple state agencies who are also interested in marijuana use and outcomes.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm really happy to be here, and I'm really happy to talk after the presentation about your questions. I have no relationships to disclose before I start the presentation. So to start, let's review the history of marijuana legalization in Colorado. In 2000, the very far left bracket for you, Colorado voters passed Amendment 20. And this permitted qualifying patients and caregivers of the patient to possess up to 2 ounces of marijuana and grow 6 marijuana plants for medical purposes only. Patients with a recommendation from a doctor, not a prescription, but a recommendation, were able to use the marijuana for qualifying medical conditions. And they received an identification card from the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. I'm going to say CDPHE from now on. This is such a mouthful. And CDPHE managed this system. The first cards were issued in 2001, which is, again, just the beginning of that second medical marijuana era. And caregivers were limited to no more than 5 patients per caregiver at that time. In 2010, Colorado legislature passed another bill which legalized medical marijuana dispensaries, marijuana cultivation operations, and manufacturers for marijuana edible products. That's medical marijuana edible products only. The amount of medical marijuana cardholders increased from 4,800 in 2008 to 41,000 in 2010. And during this era, the 5-to-1 caregiver rule was no longer in effect. In 2012, Colorado voters passed Amendment 64, which legalized marijuana for recreational use. This amendment allows individuals 21 years and older to grow up to 6 plants and possess or use 1 ounce or less. It permits marijuana retail stores, marijuana cultivation sites, marijuana edible factories, and marijuana testing sites. In 2012, there were 512 licensed dispensaries and over 108,000 registered patients with medical marijuana cards. And the first retail marijuana businesses opened January 2014. Our analysis, when you see our health effects analysis, it will mostly be broken up into these legalization eras, and that's why I start with this slide, just to orient everyone. So, after Amendment 64 was passed, CDPHE was given statutory responsibility to monitor changes in drug use patterns, broken down by race, county, and ethnicity, and to study the emerging science and medical information relevant to the health effects associated with marijuana use, as well as Colorado-specific data that reports on adverse health events involving marijuana use from the All Payers Claims Database, the hospital discharge data, the ER discharge data, and the behavioral risk factor surveys that are available. Additionally, we were given the statutory responsibility to empanel the Retail Marijuana Public Health Advisory Committee. And this is a committee, an appointed panel of 14 scientists and healthcare professionals who have expertise in cannabinoid physiology. And they had 5 tasks: to systematically review the scientific literature, to review the public health surveillance data, to recommend public health related policy, to recommend public health surveillance activities, and importantly, to identify research gaps important to public health regarding marijuana use and health and potential health effects. So this this report, which is available on our CDPHE website, and if you Google Retail Marijuana Public Health Advisory Committee, this report was published January 30th, 2015. It's about 200 pages. It has an accompanying appendix, which is a synopsis of all the literature that we reviewed. So you can actually get both of those documents right off our website. And the first section of this this report addresses the prevalence data, so from all the systematic surveys that are done in the state. The second section of this report is the comprehensive literature review on all the health effects data that we were able to review in approximately a 6 to 7 month time span. So we hit the high points. We hit pregnancy and breastfeeding. We hit youth health effects. We hit respiratory concerns. But there's a lot of information out there, some of it good, some of it not so good. So we hit the high points, and this committee continues to meet quarterly to update chapters that we already wrote and then to also look at additional potential health effects, literature on potential health effects. But please feel free to go and get that off our website. There's, as I said, there's both the report, and the final section of the report is the health effects data that we're going to look at today. So hospitalizations, ED, poison center, that kind of data is at the end of this report. So we're going to talk about the surveillance data in the beginning and then the health effects data at the end in the rest of this presentation. So firstly, we're going to talk about marijuana use patterns, so surveillance data in the state-based and nationally sponsored state-based survey tools. So we're going to look at, as I said, national and state-based survey results. So in Colorado currently, this is from the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Survey from 2014, adults 18 years and older. Current use, that's use in the past 30 days, so that's just something to remember. Jacqueline's work is in the past year, so this is use in the past 30 days in adults 18 and over. In Colorado, 13.6%. For adults 21 years and over, it's 12.9%. Again, among all current users, that's use in the past 30 days, 33% report using marijuana daily, and about 20% report driving after using. I hope this is not too hard to see. The most important take-home message from this particular slide is just that if you look over time at the trends for prevalence of use, starting back in 2010, this is both behavioral risk factor surveillance system data and also National Survey on Drug Use and Health data. This is for adults 18 and over current use. You can see that the number bumps from 10.4 to 13.6, but you see, certainly that is a potential increase, but not a dramatic, is a dramatic increase. We certainly have differences in prevalence of use by what we call health statistics regions. Sometimes those are counties, and sometimes those are much bigger blocks of geographic area just because our populations are so small in our remote areas. So the highest use is in the darkest color, and you can see our metro area has quite a high prevalence, and then also out into our mountain resort towns. So a little bit more data from this is again from the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Survey in 2014. Men are more likely to currently use at 17.2% compared to 10% for females. Current use decreases significantly with age, such that older adults in the 65 plus category are use at about 5% or report use at about 5%. Remember, current use, past 30-day use. Where 18 to 24-year-olds who currently use are about 29% of that population. Current use is lower among adults with at least some college education. And current use is highest among adults with the lowest household incomes. Use is differential by race, differential use rates by race. And gay and lesbian adults are much more likely to currently use than heterosexual adults. And that's about 31% versus 13%. So we're going to move on to the youth behavioral risk factor. So in Colorado, we call that Healthy Kids Colorado. I know most states pick their own name for the for the survey. And again, here, trend over time, the top blue line is Colorado ever use. The red line is national ever use. And those come from YRBS national data. So, and those rates are somewhere bouncing around somewhere between 42 and 39. And you can see those haven't changed dramatically. The lower two lines, the green line is Colorado past 30-day use. And the lower blue line is national past 30-day use. And this is high school students. So these are the trends over time for high school students. And you can see that the prevalence is fairly stable over time. This is a little more Healthy Kids Colorado data. So you can see high school past the high school use in the past 30 days, and then high school ever use. So you can see that those numbers, this is actually just an addition, this is just the addition of the middle school, or the middle school kids are broken out. You can see that they have a much lower rate of ever use, and that's really the only data that's available, that was available to us. So again, just a visual representation of the same data, and again, very similar to what you saw in the BRFSS. You can see, although here maybe the mountain towns aren't quite as highly represented and there's more use in that lower southwest corner, but darker color represents the highest quartile of use. So so this is ever use. So a little bit more information from Healthy Kids Colorado. This is age of first use from Colorado high school seniors. So seniors are asked, so 12th graders are asked, when did you first use marijuana? So a very small proportion of them used under, you know, under 8, 9, 10, and 11, 12 with a with probably, do we have, yeah, so probably this represents our best opportunity to intervene in terms of prevention and education messaging. So a little bit more Healthy Kids Colorado survey data, and fairly consistent with the BRFSS data. So this is tried marijuana before age 13 by sexual orientation. And this is ever use and past 30-day use. So our gay, lesbian, and bisexual teenagers are using at a much higher level than our heterosexual population. Our behavioral risk factor surveillance survey has some add-on questions. It's called the child health survey. So for families who report a child 1 to 14 in their household, they're asked if someone can call them back and do a follow-on survey of the child that lives in the house. This is a follow-on for the behavioral risk factor surveillance survey. And so when we were able to collect, so if they say yes, someone calls them back, another surveyor calls them back and asks them some questions about the child that lives in the home. So this is some of that data from 2014. Of parents with children ages 1 to 14, about 7% report having marijuana in or around the home, and 71% of those say they keep it locked away in their home. Of children 1 to 14, about 4% live in homes where marijuana has been used recently inside. And of those of parents reporting that use inside the home, 76% say they smoke it in the home, 38.5% say they vaporize it, and 14.2% say they eat marijuana in the home. And you'll notice that adds up to more than 100%. So obviously people are using it in more than one way. So this is the last little bit of survey data, and this really is just an overview of Colorado and their surrounding states. And you can see there are differing rates of use. This is 2011, 12, and 13 use. So orange is 11, blue is 12, and green is 13. And you can see the highest single state, U.S. state prevalence as the dot, represented as the dot, and then national prevalence is represented as the dash. And you can see that Colorado's use is higher than the states surrounding it. Some of them actually get fairly close, some of them not so much. So that's the surveillance data in terms of prevalence of use in the state. And I'm going to go on and talk about some of the possible marijuana-related health effects that we that we've analyzed. So this is Rocky Mountain Poison and Drug Center data. This represents calls to the Poison Center from 2000 to 2014, and it's stratified by age. So the lowest bar, the green bar, is children 0 to 8 years old, the middle bar is 9 to 17, the white bar is 18 to 24, and then the orange bar is 25 and older. And there are a few on that top cap. That little dark black top cap is unknown age. So this data represents people who had a marijuana exposure and called in. Not sure how familiar people are with Poison Center calls. It could be the patient themselves, it can be a family member, it could be an emergency physician who has the patient with them in the emergency room. It could be the EMT in the ambulance calling, saying, we have a patient that we're en route with and their exposures are such. So that's what this data represents, and as you can see, all age categories show increasing trends in calls related to marijuana exposures beginning in 2010. And the largest increases from 2013 to 2014 were in children ages 0 to 8 and in adults 25 and older. So there's a lot of limitations with this particular data set. It's very fractured data. One of the things that we hope to do in the future is actually look at the outcomes for each of these, especially by age group. We'd like to look at outcomes. And more recently, we haven't been able to dig down too deeply in this data yet, but more recently, the Rocky Mountain Poison and Drug Center has been collecting route of exposure of the marijuana exposure. So was it an edible? Was it a smoked product? So we think that that will really help us assess the data a lot more discreetly. Some of the limitations of Poison Center data. It's real-time data. So these data are very quickly captured and very quickly closed out is the term that's used for it. So within 10 days of the phone call, the Poison Center team is able to go back in and actually close out the call, close out the case, close out the call. It can be fairly fractured data, but it can include outcome, it can include where care was given, it can include as I said, since July 1 of 2014, it can include the route of exposure for the marijuana exposure. So we feel like this is a really important data set, and we'll continue to dig down deeper into this data set. And we have colleagues and collaborators at the Poison Center that we're working with on this data right now. So some of the limitations of this data are that it is very limited and sometimes not complete. And again, the route of exposure was only collected from July 1st of 2014. So we're very happy it's being collected. Would have been nice to have it collected all along. And it's something really important if you're thinking about collecting data to check with your Poison Center and see if they actually collect it, the route of exposure. So on to hospital data. Just to orient you to the hospital data. So x-axis is years, obviously. Y-axis is rates per 100. Rates per 100,000, so visits per 100,000. So as you can see, we examined the rates of hospitalization and ED visits with marijuana-associated codes in the first three diagnosis codes per 100,000 hospitalization or ED visits by year. The rates of hospitalizations remain fairly constant from 2000 to 2010 and then begin to increase in 2011 and continue to increase into 2014. I want to mention that there weren't zero, so green represents our emergency department visits. It wasn't that there weren't any emergency department visits prior to 2011, it's just that the data wasn't collected. So it's important to understand when you look at this data that there were emergency department visits related to marijuana exposures prior to 2011. The system just didn't capture ED data until then. So you can see the rates are rising. So when we examine the marijuana by marijuana, when we examine the rates by marijuana legalization era, Rates of hospitalization remain constant from that pre-medical marijuana through medical marijuana, and then they begin to significantly increase with commercialization of medical marijuana, and again with the legalization of retail marijuana. ED visits have also significantly increased from the commercialized medical marijuana to the legalization, retail legalization, marijuana legalization era. So when we look at gender, we see similar to the surveillance data. There are roughly twice the number of males hospitalizations and ED visits than female. Both genders experience similar trends, except that the rate of male hospitalizations with marijuana-associated codes decreased significantly in the retail marijuana era compared with commercialization of medical marijuana. And now when we stratify by race by age group and observe, we observe similar trends across the ages with increasing rates in the commercialization of medical marijuana and the legalization of retail marijuana, except in that age group of 9 to 17, where the rates of hospitalization and ED visits remain constant through all the legalization eras. And finally, we examine by rates by race and ethnicity. The trends differ across the races and ethnicities, where hospital rates increase for whites, blacks, and unknowns, and where blacks have the highest rates, but it decreased or remained constant for Hispanics and others. The rates of the ED visits for whites, other, and unknown, with unknown having the highest rates, while the rates of ED visits remain constant for blacks and Hispanics. So there are some limitations to this data set as well. We're unable to determine. When we examine this data, we should note that ICD-9 CM codes are intended for billing, and you can't determine if their use indicates an exposure, a diagnosis, or it's merely associated with a billing code. The coding for marijuana may also differ between hospitals in Colorado, and certainly we know it differs between states. And there is not a method to account for changes in coding due to increased awareness or increased patient reporting. So one of the things that we really think that we're seeing in this data set is that as the stigma of using marijuana decreases in Colorado, people show up at the hospital and they show up at the ED and they're less hesitant to admit that they use marijuana, and that's potentially part of the reason that they're there. So we think that there is... It's certainly multifactorial, the reason that we're seeing these increased rates. Probably increased use and increased adverse health events is a big part of it, but we also think that we're seeing increased coding, and we also think that we're seeing decreased stigma. So some of the strengths of this data is that it's updated in 6-month intervals, and it's a tool for measuring the health effects of marijuana legalization at the population level. We plan to utilize it to identify trends in marijuana use patterns, and we plan to utilize it to identify trends and outcomes associated with marijuana-associated codes. Currently, what we're doing is we're looking at the top 10 codes associated with the marijuana-related hospitalization or ED visit, and we are required to create that report that I showed you every 2 years. So the next report is due January 2017. And I anticipate that we'll have a lot more data by January 2017 to share with everybody. And we think that this is a data-driven tool that identifies trends that we can investigate further, which is what we're doing right now. So some of the take-home messages for health surveillance is that the data available don't suggest substantial increases in current use among Colorado adults and youth, certainly higher use among Colorado adults compared to other states, higher current use among certain demographics, including men, low income, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and then the lower education levels. And this is consistent with data that's been seen for many years. The methods of use are still showing mostly smoking with co-use of edible products. There are substantial possibilities for child exposure through secondhand smoke and accidental ingestion of edibles. And we have seen increases in hospital and emergency room visits, probably due to the multiple factors we discussed. So, does anybody have any questions? And I'm going to write down questions. So.
Yeah, I have a question.
Sure.
I'm from Washington State, which is the first state to legalize the medical marijuana use. And as you know, from public health professional, we do have a concern the potential increase of marijuana use. And I'm just curious, you know, in your department, if you are looking to some ways to prevent or deal with the potential increase of marijuana use among you.
So I have our prevention services division manager here, and she may be the best person to answer that question. Do you mind to take that question?
Sure.
Yeah.
So
this is Allie Matthew, by the way.
So we're definitely monitoring youth. It's currently we're at a rate lower than the national average for the YRBF data, and so it is something that we monitor. We did a check-in survey with our YRBF in an off year with 20 schools, and we're not
previous generations of elderly never used drugs, mm-hmm. but that's not true. Mm-hmm. Of the 65-year-old yeah. now, that your data is lower than anecdotally in my profession, I'm hearing reported by seniors. And also, just out of curiosity, in Washington, I parked in the parking lot just to see what was going into recreational, and they were people. So there may be a bias on the part of physicians. And
yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I do think that certainly certain ages are still going to tend to underreport use for whatever reason, whether it's a cult, whether it's generational, generationally, this product was illegal, and we certainly feel like we get. I wouldn't say. I think that there's still some underreporting.
I would.
Yeah.
They're assuming because their previous generation developed
right.
didn't, but that's still true and it's wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the coding. I'm curious if people here have certainly the huge challenge between ICD-9-CM and moving to ICD-10. Hopefully, 10 will be much more. Comprehensive in terms of helping us capture some of this cannabis-related use, but we certainly feel like that's a big challenge. The 9 to 10 transition is going to be a big challenge, but also this challenge of how do you get coders to code in a standardized way? We certainly know one of the struggles. This is just a practical struggle for us in Colorado, is that we know that. I hate anecdotes. I hate them, but I hear lots of them every day. One of the ones that I certainly struggle with is that we hear ED providers tell us if someone comes in and they say I used, right? I'm here because I used and I have this negative health. I think this negative health effect is potentially related, or I have this negative health effect, and these are the things I did in the last 24 hours or 6 hours. If they say I used. The ED providers aren't drawing a urine drug screen anymore because someone self-reported it, so there's no real need for them to pull a urine drug screen. And I understand, you know, cost effectiveness for sure. This is just one of those real challenges where a self-report is included as an ICD-9-CM code for sure, but then we don't have objective data to confirm the use or co-use, polyuse, some use of not only marijuana but use of something else that potentially is causing driving this health effect. So that's certainly a struggle for us, and I'd be happy to chat either now or when we're finished today about what people have done to, when they're facing that challenge. So the question is about frequency of use and type of use, and our 2015 acid? So our 2015 added the question about how do you use? Do you smoke? Do you vape? Do you dab? Do you eat? Do you drink? Do you, you know? And then it also asked how many days per month, and then how many times per day. So it's very difficult for those of you that have worked with the BRFAS coordinator in your state or in your area. It's very difficult to get a new question added. It's all about, you know, how many questions can you put somebody through on the phone? But for us, we've been in 2015 we started asking the question about type of use, frequency of use, number of times. So in a way to try and get a comprehensive exposure.